Good day, and welcome to another podcast from Prepared Foods. I'm Chief Editor Bob Garrison, here with a discussion around protein and plant-based products, which are two of our ongoing six power trends. Joining me today are Mark Olivieri and Julia Perez. They're with OWN, which is Only What You Need, a New York City-based processor of protein and nutrition shakes and powders. Mark is a 12-year industry veteran who joined OWN back in 2017 and now serves as Chief Executive Officer. Julia has a background in the healthier for you CPG space, and she joined the company in 2021 as Vice President of Marketing. So Mark and Julia, welcome to our podcast. It's great to connect with you, and thanks for your time.
Thank you. Looking forward to discussing OWN with you.
Yeah. And so with that, let's start at the beginning. And can you introduce us to the company and its beginnings? Who started it and when?
Sure. So OWN is a plant-based protein nutrition platform. OWN is an acronym, stands for Only What You Need. And we'll get into a little bit more exactly why we are only what you need. But I was actually the first employee of the company, part of the founding team. The founding team includes myself, a couple of executives and founders that ended up before there was any kind of revenue with the company. We ended up purchasing the brand and the formula from them. Mm-hmm. I was hired about 9 months prior to launch. And so the first kind of milestones across those 9 months were, you know, building the team, the company, the strategy, et cetera. And, you know, where we are today, fast tracking, and there's a lot happened between when we started and where we are today. But, you know, 5 years later, we are now the number one plant-based protein beverage in the U.S. We are outturning Muscle Milk nationally across the U.S. on their Genuine series. We've launched a Pro Elite series, which is a higher protein offering, which is on track to also soon outturn Muscle Milk. So there's really, you know, 3 to 4 key brands in this protein space, and we're the only relevant plant-based brand, I would say. So you have Premier Protein, Muscle Milk, Core Power, and OWN.
Yeah. And so going back, so 2017, so was the company, was the start like 2016 or 2017?
2017, our first sale was e-commerce in October of 2017.
Okay. And going back to that start, can you take us back like 5 years? And what did the market look like then? And where did you guys see a white space opportunity?
Great question. Very different market then. you know, the world was not necessarily in tune with plant-based. I would say it was probably more bleeding edge at the time versus leading edge.
Right.
At the same time, those who were participating, especially in the nutrition space, those that were participating in the plant-based space, you know, they didn't necessarily do it right. Right. So it left a bad perception in consumers' mouths. Right. Like it was either very gritty or grassy tasting. It just didn't have the same experience as the alternate dairy protein. And so we had a little bit of challenge we had to overcome there. And at the same time, from a branding standpoint, the brands that comprised the majority of the market share at that time, they were heavily, I would say, masculine dominated. I mean, you had Muscle Milk, a big, bold, masculine, muscle type brand. You had Core Power, right? Just the names in and of themselves lend itself to not necessarily be a gender neutral positioning. And the trends then were also different, right? Like work, like fitness, go back a decade, fitness a decade ago was much more, I would say, gym muscle building oriented. Fast forward to today, fitness is not necessarily that. Fitness is a way of life, right? It could be part of your life, but it could go into yoga. It could go into at home cycling. It's much more broader than just muscle strength and development, right? And so those were some of the earlier trends that we saw. And that's why we built OWN the way we did. You know, we saw an opportunity to make a gender neutral positioning. We saw an opportunity to not screen muscle. We saw an opportunity to launch our product without screaming plant-based, because we were the first and still are the only plant-based protein brand that actually doesn't taste plant-based. And that's why we're winning.
Yeah. Yeah. And so targeting, so that was going to ask you about who the brand was targeting, but so you're targeting a much wider audience with there.
Absolutely. You know, our goal was not to take a small piece of the, at the time, was a small plant-based share. You know, our goal was not to just like create switching among plant-based brands. Our goal was to go broader than that, right? We wanted consumers to pick this up without knowing that it was plant-based, taste it, say, oh, wow, it's actually plant-based when they look at the back of the bottle, or they look further into the brand to understand why this is so good, and drive switching among the larger category audience as opposed to just the plant-based set.
Yeah. What was your first item?
So our first item was our flagship 20 gram protein beverage, which still to this day is the larger part of our portfolio. Just a 20 gram protein beverage blended with a mix of plant-based protein so that you are getting your full-on amino acid blends, therefore it's complete protein. And we launched originally in three flavors, dark chocolate, which to this day is still our number one SKU, smooth vanilla, and cold brew coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned, I kind of want to take a little bit of a side trip here. You mentioned e-commerce as a way to launch. Looking back, was that the right experience for you? And how did that work, and how's it gone since then?
Absolutely. I'll touch on the first part of your question, and then I'll turn it to Julia to talk about kind of where things are pivoting to now, especially in this post-COVID world. And I say that a little bit more loosely. But yes, like in summary, having e-commerce as our original launch strategy was imperative to our success. The reason for that is because e-commerce provides data. Data provides testing, learning, optimization capability, which, you know, some of our first and early investments from a CapEx standpoint were data tools to digest the data, to segment the data, and to read, you know, exactly what's happening with this brand early on. We then use that data beyond just e-commerce, but really focused on e-commerce initially. We use that data to continue to sell the brand to all of our key customers. We use that data to drive additional flavors. We use the retention data to drive any kind of optimizations and tweaks we need to make the formula and the product to drive our retention. And then, you know, obviously, you know, hindsight's 2020, no one knew at that time that there was going to be a global pandemic. But, you know, having that firm foundation in e-commerce really helped us to, you know, be able to weather the storm, so to speak, especially in our category, right? People don't change their health and wellness attitudes, whether, you know, just because we're in a recession or because, you know, there's a sickness out there. Like, people continue to focus on wellness no matter what. It's just a way of life. And so, you know, e-commerce is and was back then a large part of the category consumption. So being able to have that firm footing, especially when people weren't going to grocery stores, really helped us to thrive during that time. Where we are today, e-commerce is now like a third of our sales. And there are some, you know, pivots we are making. I'll turn it over to Julia though to just talk a little bit more about kind of how it plays within our mix and where we see it evolving to within our marketing mix.
Yeah. I mean, we feel very fortunate to be an omnichannel brand right now. You know, back in 2020, it was everything D2C, Amazon. You know, we really had to get smart about what that looked like. And I think we're realizing now more than ever that retail awareness and being in more retail locations, our expansion, being at retail and having really strong merchandising and, you know, a smart shopper marketing strategy is also going to influence our Amazon sales, our direct to consumer sales, and they all work together really nicely. Also, when we think about field marketing, so being out there demoing, events, that's also going to influence a D2C and an Amazon sale. It doesn't always go to just you know, you do the marketing in the store and then you see it right there. It's just, it's a lot of fun because you have to think about it so many different ways. So we never get bored, that's for sure.
And I have heard stories of other companies that launched online and that by the time, as they kind of built their demand and built their a customer base, that by the time they started to go to retailers, they had so much more information about, you know, their products and what was making, you know, what the exactly what the right data points were to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I would say the other interesting thing too, or I would say it's kind of like a, I would say we're an outlier, right? Because most brands that start on e-commerce tend to be, you know, that what we would label as a digitally native brand. They have a very hard time simultaneously and equally growing other channels, right? Usually e-commerce is disproportionately always far superior from a sales mix standpoint compared to the other channels. And maybe it's because the types of brands that launch on e-commerce tend to not necessarily think through what you would traditionally call the four P's of marketing and how those four P's of marketing that are working in e-commerce don't necessarily translate into what might work in conventional retail within the US CPG space. You know, we've been able to, I would say, figure that out, which makes us an outlier because we are not, I mean, we were originally a digitally native brand, right? And e-commerce, you know, up until I would say a year ago was half of our sales, right? We were equally split across the food channel and the e-commerce channel. Now it's coming back down a little bit and perhaps that's post-COVID effect, but it's also because the brand growth, right? We've gradually, it's kind of like a snowball effect. You use that data, you gradually sell. You first start in like a region of Whole Foods, then you go global, then you go to other strategic regionals. And where we are today, you can find OWYN nationally at Target, at Walmart, at Kroger, or in BJ's, right? So the brand expansion is also kind of, to Julia's point, fueling the omni-channel, but the accessibility also, allows us to really kind of fine tune the marketing mix to drive the sale, really with the omni-channel mind as opposed to a specific channel.
Yeah. I want to go back. One of our main topics here relates to protein, and you kind of talked about the importance of getting that right back when the brand started, and not, you know, coming out with a product that was gritty or tasted too much like a plant. Can you go back and talk about developing that first product, like how long it took, what kind of protein you ended up selecting, and what can you tell us about, you know, what can you tell us about the formulation and getting it right?
Sure. Yeah, I mean it took our original founders about 4 years of formulation work to lock in on the formula that we ultimately launched with. And the reason why it took so long originally is because we just had to get it right. Like I mentioned earlier, we didn't want to have a gritty protein. We didn't want to have a protein that was incomplete. We wanted it to mimic the dairy notes, right, that you would find in an animal-based protein. So it took a while. And the protein source that we use is a combination of pea protein, pumpkin seed, and flax. The reason why we have those three is because the combination of those three provides a balanced amino acid profile that actually replicates what you would get if you were consuming just a dairy-based or an animal-based protein. And that's key because at that time when we launched, most plant-based, and still to this day, most plant-based protein brands were a single-source plant. You know, you can find a competitor that had just pea protein, but pea protein on its own, you're missing out on some essential amino acids. You can find just brown rice protein, but that on its own, you're missing out on some amino acids. The only plant-based protein that is complete in and of itself is soy, but nobody wants soy, right? Soy has detrimental effects on the body, and where that science is learning and continuing to grow. So we had to get it right. We blended these three for scientific reasons, for biological reasons, and ultimately for taste and experience reasons as well.
Yeah, and to backtrack one more time, did the very first bottle say plant-based on it, or was it just a protein drink?
It stated plant-based on it, but similar to our bottle today, it wasn't screaming plant-based.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we try not to lead with plant-based. It's definitely a part of our, it's important to us, and our customers know that we're 100% vegan. But to Mark's point earlier, we don't put ourselves in we are a vegan category.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So let's fast forward to today a little bit more. And how would you say that the overall protein beverage market has evolved since Owen's start?
Yeah, absolutely. I think overall, like when we think about the customers and how they, how they think about protein and maybe how it's evolved, because the customers often help inform that strategy. But when we think of the past and we think of protein, it's either, to our discussion earlier, gyms, weightlifting, bodybuilders, or weight loss, when you think of like the older brands. And, now customers are starting to understand that protein, they might not all of our customers, or all of the customers who are looking for protein really understand it, like specifically as a macronutrient, but they know that protein's good, and I should probably drink more, right? So I think that it's, becoming, they understand that it's important, right? And I think also consumers are starting to understand and gain more mainstream knowledge that it's a healthier way to snack. So starting to understand that low or moderate carbs or low or no sugar is by far a healthier way to snack. So in the past, protein, like we talked about, it's either muscle gain or weight loss. Now it's kind of seen as like a healthier way to snack. So instead of, grabbing some chips for a snack, why not a protein shake? And that's really what we've been trying to inform our customers more about. Like, protein is going to make you, it's going to give you the energy that you need. It's going to keep you full, and it's a healthier way to snack.
Right.
You don't have to worry about doubling the size of your bicep just because you drink a protein shake, right?
No,
like to Julia's point, don't go to Subway. Replace that 12-foot with an Owen, and you're going to feel better. It's better on your body. It's low inflammation on the body, right? And it's delicious. It's a better choice. It's going to keep you full, right? And that's where we're seeing consumer behavior evolve to. And to Julia's point, that's how we're kind of thinking through our product segmentation.
Right. Okay. And so I wanted to looking at today. So there's kind of at least two big questions. And one is just one about how Owen has evolved. I see on your website, it looks like you are even to the point of like nutrition counseling. And I also wanted to just ask about how the line has evolved.
Our first kind of evolution of the brand was the Pro Elite series, which is higher in protein. So you're closer to that 30, 35 gram protein range with zero sugar. And we also evolved beyond that to a meal replacement, and a meal replacement more so focused on vitamins, minerals, and those micronutrients, in addition to the great macro profile we have. And the reason why we've architected the portfolio in this way is because you do have different usage occasions within the category. So for example, with the meal replacement, you do have consumers in this category that are looking for a full-on meal solution or nutritional supplementation, or even from the medical side, some medical reason why you need to consume a certain level of protein, a certain level of calories, a certain level of micronutrients per day. And perhaps you can't do it orally, or perhaps you need this in addition to traditional three meals a day, right? But there's a distinct usage occasion for why someone would choose a meal replacement as opposed to a higher protein, zero sugar. The higher protein, zero sugar lives in our portfolio because that one is a little bit more designed and positioned for, I would say, that top tier competitive athlete, whether they're in the gym with fitness or they're playing a competitive sports, on a team. You know, it's branded and positioned a little bit more for that. And then you have your everyday protein, which is our flagship 20 gram, right? That's every day for active lifestyles. Now, there's obviously some cross-pollination that occurs across each of these. But for the most part, you know, I would say that would be the bullseye sort of targeting that we've approached within this architecture.
And then to go off of, you know, when you think about the different products that we offer, and especially the category at large, I mean, I think our line's pretty simple, and you know, you can look at it and understand, you know, when you might use one product versus another. But in general, the protein market is very confusing for your everyday consumer that's not reading up on, you know, nutrition, wellness, fitness, you know, well-being trends. And we saw that. And one of our most, you know, core values at Owen is transparency. You know, if you go onto our website, our blogs are all approved and edited by registered dietitians. Every single piece of content, we're very open about our ingredient label. We talk about it all the time because we have nothing to hide. And we were seeing, you know, across social media, like I guess you can think of TikTok if you want to, you know, think of an example there. But there's dietitians all over TikTok, all over social media, giving, you know, thousands, millions of people advice. And some of it's very contradictory, right? And there's many nutritionists or health coaches that may not have those credentials that have information, you know, that's not always scientifically sound, right? And they're speaking to millions of people. So we saw this as an opportunity to bring on credentialed registered dietitians and offering one-on-one dietitian advice with our customers straight from our D2C site. So if you're an Owen consumer, you can see that on our website. And again, that goes back to the transparency that we hold, you know, really close to us. And also to help them understand what product is best for them. We don't like to give advice that's just like one size fits all, because that's not how it works. You might want a different product for a different occasion. You might have three different Owen products and use them depending on, you know, what your day looks like, what your week looks like, what you're going through, what your health concerns are. And we don't like to give blanketed advice for everyone. It's not how it should be. So we wanted to bring on credentialed registered dietitians to work with us to provide our customers support right there from their phone, video. So it's nice and easy for them.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's a very proactive stance. So is that relatively new? Is something new for this past year, or how long have you been doing that?
Yes, it's very new. We're a few months in, so we're still testing it out. As always, customer feedback is number one. So, you know, our customers will tell us exactly what they want. We have a very, very engaged community. But so far, so good. And we're really excited about what this can do and, you know, offer it in addition to all of our products on our website.
Yeah. So we're at the end of this, close to the end of this calendar year. Now I've got snow on the ground where I am. Looking back, what have been some of the highlights of this year in terms of your distribution, latest new offerings? What have been some highlights looking back on this past year?
Yeah, I'll touch on the distribution piece. So this year, just go back 1 year, we really launched the Pro Elite series, which is that higher protein, zero sugar. We launched it beyond e-commerce in 2021, and it was wildly successful. So we managed to capitalize on that success this year in 2022 in the retail format. So what we've seen this year that's really kind of growing like wildfire is our Pro Elite in conventional grocery stores and mass market. So this year we managed to get chain-wide at Kroger nationally. We've unlocked Walmart. We've unlocked Target. And so we've managed to see some of the major retailers really kind of gravitate toward this SKU. And that's all in addition, right, to our 20 gram SKU. So when I say, you know, we got chain-wide to Kroger, it's not in replacement of our 20 gram. There's a unique design and differentiation and consumption occasion for both lines, to Julia's point. So we've managed to have our 20 gram sit alongside our 35 gram protein, which only helps enhance our brand visibility to drive further trial and awareness. BJ's. We turned BJ's into a successful everyday item. It was originally launched as a test back in July. It did extremely well, and now it's an everyday item. And that's, you know, obviously mostly East Coast focus, but, you know, it's a very strategic customer for us. You know, we have a bunch of wins across the board this year, and, you know, a lot of our key strategic regional retailers like Stop and Shop, Wegmans. So, you know, it's, I don't want to just focus on some of the bigger ones just because people know their names. I mean, across the board, we've seen tremendous success.
Right. And are you staying shelf stable? Are you, is it like a refrigerated RTD? And where are consumers finding you?
Yeah, we're a shelf stable brand. And depending on the location, you could find us either in a cooler or the warm shelf. And that is more of a brand-led strategic decision based on how we go to market. Typically, for the most part, though, I would say you tend to find our multi-packs in the warm shelf, either in the health, nutrition, pharmacy area of a store. And then our single bottles tend to be in a cooler or merchandise in a cooler location,
right,
or the cold vault, you know, wherever the beverage cooler might be.
Yeah. So I imagine you probably have something of a to-do list for the year ahead as we're about ready to turn the calendar. And I wanted to, I guess, ask both of you about where you see the protein beverage market going next year, whether it relates to more sugar reduction, more alternative proteins. Just what are your thoughts about where the market goes?
Yes. I mean, we have conversations about this all the time. And I mean, I'm a wellness nut, so I really geek out on this. But we're definitely seeing customers becoming more and more conscious of their sugar consumption. So sugar is going to continue to be kind of like the boogeyman in food. And, you know, our Pro Elite line addresses that with the 0 grams of sugar. We use monk fruit sweetener in that product, which is a very superior natural sweetener that tastes amazing. So sugar is going to continue to be a downward trend. And consumers are also starting to, you know, we talked about transparency a little bit. I don't see that slowing down. Consumers, you know, just with all of the different social platforms I mentioned before, they're just armed with a lot more information and they demand that transparency. So it's really important for brands to be transparent and to have a clean ingredient label. That's absolutely key. And then of course, you know, the rise in like higher protein SKUs. We definitely see this a potential, you know, to continue to be on the rise as people understand more like protein isn't just for bodybuilders. A high protein diet doesn't just benefit people who are in the gym. It benefits all of us to think about our protein consumption and to get what we need on a daily basis. So we definitely see that continuing to be a trend, the higher protein SKUs.
And does it seem like the amount of protein in the 20 to 30, that type of content, does that seem like it will be remaining the same, or is that going up also?
Well, you know, there's a potential that, you know, there's always a potential to add something. You know, our Pro Elite line has been incredibly successful. So, you know, we'll see what the new year brings, but yeah, high protein SKUs. I don't see that, you know, slowing down. I think the success of our Pro Elite line, if that tells us anything, it tells us that the consumer sees that higher protein amount, is interested in it. You know, it's not for every consumer, but it sure is doing well. So, you know, we take that as a good sign.
Okay. So Mark, my last question, at the very beginning, you talked about Owen as a platform. So I can see Owen Food and all kinds of stuff. But what can you tell us about new opportunities for Owen in the coming year?
Yeah, no, our motto is focus on the core before you add more. We still got a long way to go with what we currently have. But I can tell you, 2023, there's going to be a lot more growth on our meal replacement line. It was historically an e-commerce only item. In 2022, we rolled it out to Publix chain-wide. It's a great market for meal replacements and would be a good market for us to understand if we really had a retail viable option in this format. We've seen very quick success with our mural placement. Actually, as of a data period ending October 30th in consumption data, and we use Spins as our database for consumption data, we began outturning SlimFast on a unit per store per week per SKU basis on average. And we're within 0.2 units per store per week from outturning Beating Boost. So we have a real viable option here. We have a couple of large verbal commitments. So 2022, you'll begin to see our mural placement and more points of distribution. And then I would say, I'll tease the fact that we have some exciting new flavors coming into the market in 23. We're looking at, I would say, not necessarily seasonal flavors, but limited releases that would be focused in specific channels.
Okay. Well, I am done traveling for this year, but we'll have my backpack and we'll look forward to meeting you both and maybe trying one of those.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And if you're traveling, you could find us in an airport.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for today's podcast. I want to thank Mark and Julia today for their time and to tell us a little bit about Owen. Come back to Prepared Foods and visit our podcast section anytime for on-trend topics and discussion. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you all later. Bye.